If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Last week we talked about times of refreshing, and I hope that you received from the Spirit of God. It's a great service. Well, one of the questions I have for you, what's the refreshing for? Are we refreshed so we can watch more TV? We're refreshed so we can have more recreation. And I'm not opposed to any of those things. But what's the refreshing for? You know, if you're going to be yoked with Jesus, we talked about that from Matthew chapter 11, be yoked with him. I mean, you're right there together. You're going through everything together. And, you know, when you're working closely with somebody, you get to know that person. You get to know their heart, all about them. And, you know, and we're yoked with him, and so we're going to get to know him and know his heart and to know his desires and what he wants to happen. So let's read in 2 Corinthians 5, and because I think it's going to show us a little bit about what we're to be refreshed for. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 says this, "The love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all. That those who live should no longer live for themselves." That's a good word. "Should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." And I think, you know, talking to the church, talk obviously in the world, I mean, how many folks are living for themselves? Living for their own desires, their own plans, their own dreams. And again, if we're going to be yoked with him, we're going to have his desires. We're going to live for him. And so the rest of the verses I'm about to read is going to show you how to live for him. He's going to go ahead and tell us. And he's, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away." That is awesome. Old things have passed away. That selfish nature, that sin nature, the nature of the enemy, that's been passed away. We've been born again. We've been made new. We now have the life of God in us, and our spirits have been recreated in his image. "Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." See, we should be refreshed for our ministry. Amen. Anybody out there? Anybody out there today? "That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So we've been given a ministry, and part of that refreshing is needed for because we're involved in ministry. And it's not just, a few special people that are involved in ministry. This is talking to everybody that's a new creation. If you're a new creation, raise your hand. Right? Old things passed away, all things become new. And whether you know it or not, and a lot of churches don't teach about this, a lot of people, churches don't even mention that we have a ministry of reconciliation. A lot of ministers may not even want to know, want their congregation to know that their folks have ministry. But we've been all been given this ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation means to change, exchange, reestablish, restore relationships, make things right. Reconciliation is reestablishing of a proper, loving, interpersonal relationship that has been broken or disputed. And I like what the Amplified says here about reconciliation. It's restoring people to divine favor. Restoring people to divine favor, because people don't know that God has favored them. And not favored them based on themselves, but favored them because Jesus died and paid the price for their sins. And because of that, they're now in God's family. And because they're in God's family, He favors His kids. And see, the world out there doesn't know that. They think that there is a judging, mad God out to get them, out to punish them. And so they're running from church. They're running from Him. They don't want anything to do with Him. And religion has been telling lies on God, you know, for thousands of years. It's the traditions of man that make the Word of God of no effect. And so they see a God that hates them, that's mad at them, doesn't want anything to do with them, but really it's the opposite. He's loving, caring, kind, gracious, generous, wants to give them an abundant life, wants to spend eternity pouring out favors upon them. And so we've been given this ministry of restoring people to God's divine favor. That's what ministry we all have. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have ministry. And it's the ministry of reconciliation. But then it says that we're ambassadors for Christ. Did you know today that you are high ranking, esteemed, celebrated in heaven, impressive, influential? Did you know that's who you are? Did you know that you're influential in the kingdom of God? Did you know that heaven today is backing you, standing behind you, backing you up, defending you, providing for you, assisting you? Every one of us here that's born again, you know you're going to heaven when you die, you are an ambassador for Christ. Say, I am an ambassador for Christ. And what does an ambassador do? Here's a couple things. They're an envoy and sent to represent a foreign land. Ambassadors for Christ are sent to represent heaven. You're a sent one. An ambassador is a diplomatic agent of the highest rank. You know, we talk about, you know, ministers like to do this. They like to have rank. And, you know, who's got the highest rank? And we'll put these things on our cards. And, you know, the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist. Well, I'm telling you, ambassadors for Christ, when an ambassador is in that country, they've got the highest rank. So if you want to go ahead and put on your business card, ambassador for Christ, and when they show you their apostle card, yours trumps theirs. You're an authorized messenger who has the power to make decisions and represent the will of the government and the nation that you represent. You've been given authority. An ambassador, when they go to another country, they've been given authority. You've been given authority to act on behalf of the king or the country. You're authorized to speak on the king or the country's behalf. And this is a good one, this last one here. This may be convicting here. So if you're going to tune me out, probably now is a good time. You want to think about something else just for a few minutes here. The honor of the country is in the ambassador's hand. His country is judged by him. Ouch. His words are listened to. His deeds are watched. The honor of Christ and the church are in the ambassador's hand. Every word and action he can make, he or she can make, have people, lead people to think more or less of the church and the master. So are we an ambassador for Christ when we're driving our cars? Or are we somebody else? You know, we can go ahead and just cut everybody off and cuss them all out. Are we ambassadors for Christ when we are at the grocery store or at Walmart? Are we ambassadors for Christ when we're picking our kids up for school? Are we ambassadors for Christ when we're home and no one's looking? Does our actions cause our kids to want to be like Jesus? Are we ambassadors for Christ in our marriage? Do we represent him in our marriages? Are we ambassadors for Christ at work? You know, see, a lot of people, this is probably one of the big problems that we have. And I've seen this growing up in church and all the different things is, you know, we really leave ministry to some special people. And it's not my responsibility. No one really cares how I act or what I do. Who's really looking? And so we don't think highly of ourselves. We just certainly don't look highly as ourselves as, you know, what Jesus bought and paid for. And the little things, you know, and being ambassadors, not just sharing the gospel, although that's part of it. I mean, we represent him. We represent him. And if we would maybe think of ourselves more of that way, I mean, is this the way an ambassador would conduct himself? Is this the way what an ambassador would be looking at? Is this what, I mean, but we really, you know, a lot of people don't want that responsibility. But I hate to tell you today, because you're here, if you're listening, you are an ambassador for Christ. And so if no one else ever tells you, I'm telling you today, and I'm telling you, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. But see, now you look at me in my life, and you'd expect me to live a certain way. You expect me to be honorable in my dealings. You know, even the qualifications for ministry, I have to run my household well. I mean, all these different things. You expect, because I'm pastor, I represent Good News Church. But see, we don't have a lot of people that, we don't look at us that, as members, we represent Jesus. We represent the church. We represent Good News Church. We've got a high calling. Now also, I mean, and you'd expect me to be skillful in my ministry, wouldn't you? You'd expect me to study. You'd expect me, I mean, after 20 years, you think I'd be better in preaching and teaching, leading, don't you think? I mean, shouldn't I be? But how much expectation is there on the congregation? And how many people really know about their ministry? You telling me I got a ministry of reconciliation? Who even cares? Who even thinks about it? You think, oh my God, this is the wrong day I picked on coming to church. I see where you're going. Well, it just goes with our calling here. We're called to challenge you. I mean, if we've got a mission like empowering people to give life, I mean, we just can't be fluffy messages, right? I mean, this is serious business. Empowering people to give life. And then our vision. We see a community of believers strongly connected to God and each other, empowered by the Word and the Holy Spirit. To be what? Able TV watchers? Able ministers reaching their world and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. Challenging us. We wanted to find out who we are. And see, this abundant life in John 10:10 is just not about me just living better. I don't need to be refreshed just so I can work better and go home and work in the yard and feel better when I'm doing those things. And we need to do all, we have to do all those things. But we've got a purpose and we've got a calling here. We are ambassadors. And we call them life givers here. And we represent Jesus wherever we go. And people are watching us. Our kids are watching us. Our family is watching us. And we just can't just, live our lives and just do whatever we want. We live for Him. We serve, for the president. And we represent heaven. Wherever you go, you represent heaven. And our lives should be representing that. I mean, this is what heaven's like. So what are some practical things I can do to be an effective ambassador? I'm going to give you some things. And if you want to jot these down, maybe you've got them all memorized already. You know all these things. Number one, ambassadors love people they are sent to. Love the people they are sent to. Now, we were in a conference, and you're going to be hearing more about this, but we were in a conference about discipleship, and they talked about this. Are you looking up here? Look at this. What we're talking about here is we've got a relationship with God. And as we are walking with Him and receiving from Him and getting to know Him, His love is being poured out upon us. And what happens is that love fills us up to overflowing, and then it overflows to others. So there's love for Him, but it can't be just this. If you love God, then you're going to love people. So an ambassador loves the people they're sent to. Number two, ambassadors know their purpose. And then this is a problem, especially for the American church. We have gotten so far away from our purpose. It's really sad. We think our purpose is to build big church buildings. We think our purpose is to have big offerings or to be on TV or to have our name known in the city. Look at them over there. Or we think it's, lighting and technology, or maybe it's having fancy illustrative sermons and all these different things. I call it the ABCs of ministry: attendance, buildings, and cash. And I hate to say it, that's what the American church has become. And we are being whooped, really bearing fruit by other nations, because they don't have to have all this in order to do ministry. Eddie and I were in Peru years ago, and we went into the jungle to preach to this Bible school. I mean, we went into the jungle. I mean, where the bus got stuck in the mud, and we're walking down the road, and it's jungle on both sides. You can't see anything. You just had this feeling people are watching you. But we go to this little place, and it's barely got a roof on there, and just four, logs for poles, and then it's got concrete chair, foundation for the benches, and then a piece of wood going across that they're bent. And we go in there and we teach, and we're having, English and Spanish, and God showed up and God moved. We had church. But see, we don't think we can do church here. I mean, if I had some little shack here and little concrete things and with wood, would you be here in church today? If we didn't have air? I mean, what have we come to here? What have we become here? We're just all the different things. I mean, people, anyway. Turn over to Matthew 28. This is the purpose right here. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go." Transfer of authority. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am all with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." There's the purpose. It's the purpose of why we're believers. It's the purpose for the church. It's the purpose for this church. It's for the purpose of the church down the street. For all these churches, this is the purpose. Two main parts of the Great Commission, co-mission. Two main parts of that are getting people saved and making disciples. And, you know, we were taught at ORU, Oral Roberts University, to go into every man's world. I mean, we may be a homemaker, we may be a businessman, we may be a doctor, we may, all these different things, but we're to be a light wherever we go, and we're to be about the Great Commission. And that ought to be a driving force, a purpose for each one of us every single day, that my life is about making disciples and getting people saved. All these other things that we think church is about, this is the purpose. This is the purpose of why we get together. This is the why we have school for life, or we have youth, or we have kids, or all the different things. This is the purpose. Now, we have fellowship, and we have things that come up, but fellowship means sharing, and we're friends, and we're members of this church with a cause. And if we keep this straight, it'll help us to, a lot of the things we get offended about and get upset about, we wouldn't be upset about anymore. Are we doing the purpose? Number three, ambassadors know their message. I'll read you Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says this: "It's news that I'm most proud to proclaim, this extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts Him, starting with Jews and then right on to everyone else. God's way of putting people right shows up in the acts of faith, confirming what Scripture has said all along. The person in right standing before God by trusting Him really lives." Ambassadors know their message. We know the book. We know His will, and we know the gospel. Where the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is where the power is. The gospel will bring provision. The gospel will bring healing. The gospel will bring reconciliation. The gospel will bring peace. And we've got to know what that message is. I'm not going to go into that today, but we teach that here. What is the gospel? Number four, ambassadors are trained in their ministry. We wouldn't send an ambassador to Russia or China or someplace without training. Trained to do what their job is. Our training, Mark 16, verse 17, says this: And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. They will drink anything deadly. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the God. See, he's sitting there. His body is down here. The head's up there. The body's down here. The body does the work. He was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of the God, and they went out and preached everywhere. What did they preach? The gospel. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. And we feel here at Good News Church, every believer should know how to get someone saved. Every believer should know how to get someone baptized in the Holy Spirit. Every believer should know how to pray for people. Every believer. And you may not know now, but you're in the right place because we'll have opportunities. We'll have outreaches. We'll have training so that you will know how to do these things. Do the work of the ministry of reconciliation. Number five. Ambassadors are available for ministry. And I'll just read some verses here. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 says this. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. They're going to prayer. That's a good thing. The ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And they had an assignment. They were going to prayer. They were going to church. And that's a good thing. But they were always available to God to be used by God. And they ended up stopping on the way to do something important, to do something good. But they were available to the Holy Spirit to minister to somebody. And see, we have to make that decision whether I'm going to be available today. God's not going to make you be available. He's not going to force you to do ministry. You've got to open yourself and be available to Him. Now, I've got a great testimony here. Martha, why don't you come and share what happened as you were going about your business?
I work at Furniture Outlet, and one day this week I was at work and a lady came in and I went over and greeted her and she said, I'm from Muncie, Indiana. Well, I knew right then she wasn't in the store to buy furniture. And she said, I have a sister who's in the Veterans Hospital downtown who's dying of cancer, of brain tumor. And she said, we found out about 2 weeks ago that she had a brain tumor. And immediately we found out there was nothing they could do. She's dying. She's already paralyzed on one side. And she said, I was talking to her on the phone, and she said, I hope I can go to heaven. Now, she lived in Muncie, Indiana, her sister's in Augusta. And she told her, she said, well, you can know that. I'm a Christian. She said, I got in my car and I drove to Augusta. She said, there are five sisters, five of us. And my older sister told me, I'm going to unplug her phone so she can't talk to you anymore on the phone. So she came in person. And I could tell she was really frustrated, not knowing what to do. There were a lot of tears, a lot of hugs. I'm telling this real short, but this went on for, you know, several minutes. And her other sisters ridiculed her. She'd been called a hypocrite. But I could tell in Muncie she didn't go to a church where they taught you how to give life. So she knew she was going to heaven, but she didn't know how to tell her sister that she could go to heaven. And so she was just frustrated. So immediately I started talking to her about Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your heart Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And told her how simple it was to lead her sister to the Lord and to have her sister do that. And we went over that over and over and over until I was sure that she understood how easy it was, not a difficult process, how easy it was, and that she could do it. And so then after about 20, 25 minutes, I walked her to the door. I felt that she knew what to do with her sister, how to lead her to the Lord, how her sister could know she was going to heaven. And she said to me, I was looking for somewhere to eat. And now, the Veterans Hospital is downtown, Furniture Outlet's on Bobby Jones Expressway. To get from downtown, she had to either come up Walton Way by the Target Center and pass all those restaurants, or she had to come out Washington Road and pass all those restaurants.
Now, let me ask you something. Did you have anything else to do at that moment? I mean, do you have other customers you could have waited on,
well, or
paperwork
busy,
or something
right?
that you could have been done
yes.
doing? Why did you take that time to talk to her?
I saw she was really frustrated and that she needed help. The other sisters evidently had said some things to her, and I said, ignore what they're saying. Do not give your attention to what those sisters are saying. Give your attention to the sister in bed with the brain tumor. That's where your attention goes. You minister to her. You help her. And ignore all that other stuff.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's just making yourself available. Isn't that amazing? This lady, why did she even come into the store? Drawn, you know, over in Luke 5, those fish were drawn to the net. But we've got to be available. We've got to be open. We've got to recognize those opportunities as they come your way. And I know, I mean, life is life. So much happening and so many distractions. And it's so easy just to say today, I'm not going to be available. But see, this is not about me. This is about others. And I'm not saying you got to go stand in the corner and preach and yell at people. That's not what I'm saying here. Or just immediately you meet somebody, I'm a Christian, and start, you know, ramming the gospel. That's not what I'm saying. Well, we're just led by the Spirit. Peter and John, they were just led by this. Martha was led by the Spirit. Just going about their business. They were going to prayer. Martha was working. But you're just available to the Holy Spirit to be used. Now, I mean, what do you think that lady thought? I mean, she walked out of there and just received life. I mean, she's got to think, boy, God is real. Got encouraged, found out where she could eat. She drove by about 50 restaurants. Ready to go back in there and face the Pharisees. But minister, and I believe that lady is saved. Praise God. Being available to Him. I just want to encourage you today. I mean, maybe today. Maybe you go out into the restaurant. And again, I like what Brother Hagin used to say, don't make it happen, let it happen. But sometimes these fish just, like, they just flop up into the net. And we've got to be ready to be able to haul them in and bring them in and look for those opportunities. Pray with somebody. I mean, healing, just kindness. Bless somebody financially. I call them grace transactions. Just always, what you're doing is you're just looking inward. The Holy Spirit, God, is in you. And He is the Spirit of grace. And so He knows how to be gracious. So we just look and look inside. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Imagine if we just did the whole church. You know, I don't know how many Christians there are, but imagine if we had 1 billion life givers. We would just wrap this thing up. 1 billion people listening to the Holy Spirit. Number 6, ambassadors confess who they are. Just like a new ambassador going to a nation, I mean, it's going to be on-the-job training. They've been trained, but there's just things you're going to learn by doing the job. But you got to show up to work. But you grow in this. And there's this thing that I've learned over the years to help me grow is to take the word, put it in my heart, and then confess it with my mouth. Philemon chapter 1. Or for all the Jamaicans, Philemon. Okay. Philemon chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have towards the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. We teach about that, who we are in Christ, you know, in ambassador school. But we talk about confessing it and speaking it. And every time you say it, it just grows a little more on the inside of you. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I lay hands on the sick. You put your name in there. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. I cast out devils in the name of Jesus. I speak with new tongues. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness. I represent Jesus wherever I go. Whatever I put my hands to prospers. I have the mind of Christ. And, you know, so as an ambassador, you're just confessing who you are. And you want what happens on this outside to match what's on the inside. And because confession brings, this is good, confession brings what's on the inside to this natural realm. And so we say it. Now, a lot of times you'll say some of these things from the Word. Now, it's all from the Word. You know, we are more than conquerors. He always causes me to triumph in Christ. He's given me the victory through Jesus. I'm a world overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He infuses me with inner strength. I'm strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Speaking the Word, but it's being in a reality. And so you just begin to grow. You grow in your ambassadorship. And as we grow in this, I'm telling you, I mean, you're going to meet people and you're going to represent Christ to them. And they're going to receive your message, His message. And they're going to be reconciled to God. What do you tell them? I mean, there's some scriptures, just a few scriptures, but you tell them your testimony. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. What you share is, how has God favored you? How has God reconciled you? And then you say, I mean, He's no respecter of persons. What He's done for me, He will do for you. And you share how it's not your works, it's by faith. It's His grace. It's His mercy. And you talk about how kind God is. And some people, it may be just a one moment. You may never ever see that lady again. But others, I mean, it's maybe just a daily planting seed. Now, there's some wisdom as a farmer on how to plant seed. You get better. I mean, when I first got saved, I just sat my, I mean, don't do this. Don't do what I did. I just sat my family down, my good Catholic family, my mom, my dad, Mike, Marie, Pat was already saved, but Shelley, and, you know, I just got them, you know, there at the dining room table, and I said, you guys are going to hell. You guys are burning. And boy, it was powerful. They all fell on their knees and repented. Well, I know about Jesus trying to be, you know, being pushed off the cliff. If there had been a cliff to push off, or if there had been some big rocks in the room. Oh, my sister Marie, I mean, we always have gone out, you know, you ever have those family members that you kind of just tangle with? When I just saw my sister last time I was up there and we were talking and we were just laughing about stories. Laughing now, but I mean, we're laughing about the time she took my head and banged it on the radiator and it got like big stitches back here. Oh, we just laughed all about that. That was so funny. But this same Sister Marie, when I sat her down and told her she was going to hell, she was going to send me there right at that moment. She didn't speak to me for 2 years. So I want to help you with your family. There's two kind of people, those you want to be like and those you don't. I've been both. But we're skillful in some relationships. I mean, it's just a seed of love. He'll show you how to sow those seeds. But let those seeds be full of reconciliation. Let those seeds be full of divine favor, His goodness and His graciousness. And see, the Holy Spirit, He empowers us to do these things. If we make ourselves available to Him, He'll empower us to do the work of the ministry. He'll empower us to walk in our ministry. He'll empower us to be ambassadors for Him, to be His representatives. And the Holy Spirit is that empowerer. And if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, I mean, you really need that. If you're in ambassador school, you really need that to be a witness and a light for Him. The Bible talks about Him coming in and filling you up to overflowing. And so that ministry of reconciliation will just flow. Baptism, you know, being immersed. To anoint means to rub on something and smear something. I mean, and so when you're anointed by the Holy Spirit, Jesus, Acts 10:38, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. I like to put my name. Matt Judd of St. Paul, Minnesota, was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good ministry and healing all those that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Woo! Frank, God's with you out at the fort. I know they got all the rank, but God's with you. God's with you. And as you're following and acting on His behalf, He's going to back up your words. He's going to back you up. And talk about an exciting life. This is really living. The last thing is, ambassadors pray for more trained ambassadors. Let's look over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. I'm going to read from Amplified. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news, the gospel of the kingdom. And He's doing the ministry of reconciliation, curing all kinds of diseases, every weakness and infirmity. When He saw the throngs, He was moved with pity and sympathy for them because they were bewildered, harassed, distressed, and dejected and helpless. Now let me ask you, as you go about in your world, and when you see people, I mean, is that what you see? That's what I see. Even church people, harassed. Who are they harassed by? The devil? Distressed, dejected, helpless, bewildered, like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust laborers into His harvest." And, you know, you look at this, I mean, a lot of things He could have said we could pray for. We've got needs. Bills to pay and things going on at home and giants to slay. And, you know, but this is really a higher prayer. Now, this is a prayer that ambassadors pray, even though they're going through trials. Even though they've got cares and things that they're dealing with, But ambassadors for Christ pray this prayer because they know that the problem's not on God's end. He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The problem's not on the sinner's end. They're just doing what they know to do. That's their nature to sin. Unless they get reconciled, they're just doing what they know to do. So where's the problem? We don't have enough laborers. Now, notice it didn't say we don't have enough Christians. We got plenty of Christians. But he like puts them in a different category, Christians who are laborers. And he says to pray for the laborers. We need more laborers. And we don't even just need more Christians. We do. I mean, we want to get people saved. But we need people that are trained in giving life. We've got to have more laborers. We're not going to get the job done if we have more laborers. Well, the evangelists will do it. The TV ministry, that'll do it. If they could have done it, they would have done it already. We're not going to mass evangelism the world to be saved. My dream and prayer, and I know this is God's dream and prayer, every village, every town, every city, every nook and cranny, we've got believers that are trained to do the ministry of reconciliation. And that is daunting when you look out at 7 billion people. But I can only deal right now with my neck of the woods. And as he opens up more for us, we'll take that as well. But I got to make sure here at Good News Church that we're not just one of those churches that are kind of going through the motions and kind of going through church and preaching some good messages, but where there's no responsibility for the congregation. I can't do that. And that's not great for church growth because people want to become and be entertained. But I tell you what, I'd rather have less, and that's, I don't have to have that, I can have it all. But I'd rather have less with some quality people that I want to do something for the kingdom of God. Some quality people, even though they may fall flat in their face and make a lot of mistakes, that's okay. I'd rather have you having mistakes doing the work of the ministry than doing nothing. We'll help you. You fall, we'll give you some training. But to pray for the laborers, that's something we can do. So there's some things, even if you have no idea what I'm talking about, this ministry of reconciliation, there's some things you can do today. You can start confessing the Word of God today. You can start praying. Just get this, Matthew 9, start praying that. You can start today saying, I'm going to be available to God today. And then, you can pray that prayer. Here am I, send me. Here am I. What are they saying? Here am I. Use me today, Lord. I got my checklist of things I got to do today. But along the way, I'm going to be sensitive to you. Luke chapter 5, I mean, those fish were drawn to the net. As you obey the commands of Jesus and launch out into the deep, the fish are going to come to you. Now, we've got a course here. It has a really cool, fancy title here. I Give Life Course. And we've got about 30-something people on here, testimonies, lessons. Let me read to you the 8 lessons that are on the I Give Life Course. Number 1. The ministry of the believer. Number 2, God's passion for people. Number 3, the gospel defined. I'll show you what the gospel is. Number 4, doing the works of Jesus. Number 5, the power to be a witness. 6, how God works with us. 7, what life givers pray. And number 8, which is really all about, the face of grace. We have this available. Many of you already have copies of this. This could be something you could do for private devotions in study. This is something you could take and get you a few other people together to have a little small group. You don't have to wait for us to run the course. You can start taking this today, because this is ambassador school here. And I encourage you to go over these things, and then as you go through different, you know, pray about it, think about it, and then act on it. So today, as we close the service, you know, where are you at? Or have you just gotten so distracted, so off track here? Where are you at with giving life? Where are you at with the ministry of reconciliation? How do you feel about the Great Commission? Where is that in your daily priorities? Is it in our thinking? Have you been available to Him? So questions to answer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray for the congregation today. And I thank You, Lord, that You've got a call.